Hey, welcome to Highly Questionable. Dan went on vacation last week, but what's that matter? He's going on vacation again today. Dominique Foxworth, Katie Nolan, we'll work hard.
What should the NFL do about Daniel Snyder and the culture of the Washington football team?
Okay, the bombshell Washington Post report on the Washington football team did drop on Thursday. And don't be mistaken, just because of all the things that you may have seen on the internet that weren't in that story was still a bombshell and described an environment that sounded like a horrible one to work in, especially for women there who were being berated when they weren't having their appearance commented on endlessly. And a woman saying that she would sob at her desk, and she figures that Bruce Allen must have known because his office was right outside there. And there's no way that he couldn't have told that she was crying at her desk. What the NFL can do, though, this is where it gets to be interesting. Jerry Richardson, we had the bombshell report from Sports Illustrated about what was going on with the Panthers, and almost immediately he said he was going to sell his team. But he was personally implicated in that report in a way that Dan Snyder was not. So the one thing I think we can say right now the NFL can do, rather than let the team do an investigation, how about they do the investigation? Because if any of this stuff had come out about a player, they wouldn't trust the team to look into it. They would go about it themselves. So Dan Snyder getting a law firm to go out and look into this? No, if the NFL cares about this, this is for them to look into. This is for them to handle. And then when they find out what's going on, they're the ones who need to figure out what to do.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. I'm tired. I'm tired of telling the NFL what they should do about stuff like this. I'm particularly tired, like you mentioned, Bomani, that people are now saying this isn't that big of a report just because a bunch of reports about the report that was coming out came out before the report. And so there were all these allegations of what it was going to be. And then when 15 women say, hey, I've been sexually harassed on the record, people are like, oh, that's it. And that sucks. It also sucks to see people say that, you know, if that were my daughter, like, you know, Ron Rivera, who I love, and who I know has good intentions, saying that his daughter's working in the organization, so he's not going to let this fly. You don't have to have a daughter. It doesn't have to be somebody related to you to be like, women should be able to go to work and just work without worrying about somebody looking up their skirt on some weird glass ceiling in a staircase. It's frustrating. We're sick of it. I think you may have seen a lot of women on the internet saying that a lot of us have had experiences like this in early jobs in our career. And a lot of the women were saying it was their first job out of college. So you feel like you can't say anything. This is a problem. And to be clear, it's not just a Washington problem. And I would encourage all teams to take a look in-house before they start throwing stones with their glass ceilings. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that it's important that we all continue to take this seriously. But I think, Katie, you make a good point that this happens often when we have someone who's doing something wrong to a particular group. We look at that person and we're like, you're evil. And we grab our torches and pitchforks and we fail to realize that the problem specifically in this case is much broader than that. And I think a lot of organizations, not just in sports, but overall, we have to have a reckoning to coming, and we should be pushing forward with that. But I do think specifically to this case, I think Dan Snyder, you're right about Bomani. They need to do an independent investigation, but I'm not sure that's enough. I'm certainly not someone who's ever calling for people's job, but they should certainly take some deep consideration about Dan Snyder, because this isn't a one-time incident. I understand he wasn't implicated personally in this case, but they do have a track record there of, if nothing else, a terrible culture. You can go back to 2013. The reports came out in 2018 of their cheerleaders' trip to Costa Rica, where the cheerleaders were coerced into taking topless pictures while suite holders could walk around freely and view them. So it was so bad that many of the cheerleaders got together and formed a human barricade so that the suite holders couldn't look at their naked teammates. And then after that photo shoot took place, many of the suite holders were allowed to choose a woman to accompany them to a party later on. So like that happened in 2013. It was in the New York Times in 2018. Just last year, 40 employees quit, just up and quit. And they cited issues with culture there. And then we have this come out. So I understand he's not personally implicated. He wasn't doing any of the texting or touching or viewing, but it seems to suggest that his judgment and the institution that he's created, that is implicated. And they should have some harsh questions for Dan Snyder, and he should step out and answer them, not just have an independent investigation. He needs to sit in front of us and answer his questions for this and for the name change, frankly.
Well, you hit two things that I think are important. One, the thing about the story with the cheerleaders, like one of the things on the internet that you saw people say might be in the story was something about human trafficking. But that sounded a lot like what the situation was with the cheerleaders. It's like, it wasn't like this was something new. That wasn't in the story because that had already been brought up and discussed. And we collectively as an industry talked about it a little and then probably did not do enough. I believe one of the allegations there was that they had their passports confiscated once they got there, which then made them totally powerless in that situation. But the other thing Dominique said that I think is really important, Snyder's got to have something to say about this at some point. And if I'm the NFL, if I'm looking at this purely cynically and not taking a moral stance on this, the fact that he knew this story was coming, didn't have any statement ready for it on the day that the story was released, and then the next day, all he had basically was a paragraph. How were you not ready for this to be coming when everybody knew it was coming? At some point, you got to be able to stand in front of this because Mark Cuban had this situation with the NBA, and he went on TV that very day. I think it's fair to have criticisms about the way that he handled it, but at least he put his face on it. Everybody else, it sounds like, is going to have to clean this mess up for Snyder. It may be Ron Rivera. It may be Roger Goodell. And if he can't stand and face his own problems, then I think that'll be the thing above all else that tells the NFL and its owners to say, we got to get this dude out.
I don't mean to be so dejected and silent on the topic about women. It's just that, like, this has happened so many times. And there's just, I can't see that anything's going to happen. Like, there isn't that same public outcry towards treating women that way. It's just seen as like, it's sports. What did they expect? Let the boys be boys. And so it's just like, at this point, how many times can you sit in a little box on TV and be like, we need to incentivize making sure women feel safe in the workplace? They're not going to do it. So like, I would love to have this attitude and I love your guys' passion. I just want to make it clear. I don't mean to be so negative. It's just, there's like very little hope left that anyone gives it.
Well, I imagine it's especially disheartening if this guy can't get it, right? Like, it's not like people like him. It's not like there's a but, you know? Like, they said this about him. But he's a guy that we like. His minority owners don't want to be on board with him. The city doesn't seem to want to be on board with him. Nobody wants to be on board with Dan Snyder. Does the NFL really want to decide that they want to be the ones to go to the wall for him?
Is Mac Brown right that college football should have a commissioner?
All right, Mac Brown went on to Paul Feinbaum's show, and he made this point that others have made before, that we need a commissioner in college football. He figures that a lot of the problems that have come about because of COVID-19 could be corrected if there was one central figure who was in charge of the whole thing. And that's one of those things that sounds like a great idea until you stop and think about it for a second, right? Yes, it would be great if you could have one centralized person to handle all of these decisions. That also sounds like the absolute worst job in the world. It doesn't sound like it's possible. There's too much of a variance in what different conferences and different schools need and what their interests are for that to be the thing that I think would fix the problem. The other thing worth noting is that we have commissioners in other professional sports. Those guys are in charge largely of representing the owners when they deal with the players. If you want to have a commissioner of college sports, let's go to the next step and come up with a way to organize and unionize the players, because the last thing the players need is one person standing up with all the power while they're still just out here hoping to get crumbs.
Yeah, it's college football is a professional sport. I think adding a commissioner is just taking the next step to make it professional. Hopefully that means that the next step that you've already mentioned, Bomani, is that you unionize the players. But I do think that the power that commissioners have in professional sports comes from the owners. And the owners are the ones who are actually, in large part, making decisions, or at least telling the commissioner when he has the latitude to make the decision. So adding commissioner, I'm not sure, changes any of college football's current problems, because these guys are still going to want to do things their way. It's just going to be a power struggle on who's going to be able to force the commissioner to make the decisions that they want him to make. So I'm not sure that this solves any problem necessarily, but it gives us someone in particular to point to, and it gives us more latitude, not that we need it, to point out how the players are being exploited and will continue to be exploited unless they get some sort of representation.
This story sounds so crazy to me on its face, because it's just like the power in college football is so, and in college sports in general, is so lopsided, obviously, on the side of the NCAA. And their issue is that there's commissioners for each conference, and that they think the solution is to put one commissioner above all of those commissioners, adding more power to one side without realizing that it's because there's no balance to the power by giving power to the other side, which is obviously not something they're going to do. But those commissioners that exist right now for the conferences are not going to be like, sure, give us a boss, we'll listen. But clearly the issue is that there's no opposing power to balance out the power. And we have people like Skip Holt saying that no one's looking out for the good of college football. No one's looking out for the good of college football players, and the fact that they can have this discussion and think that they're making some sort of great point without realizing that the issue is the lack of power on the other side is insane to me.
I would also make this point. Look around America right now. What of having one person in charge of anything or any entity is making anything better with COVID-19, right? Like, you tell me, who are they going to put in charge? Fauci? Because if they're not going to put him in charge, the real problem that college football has right now is the nation is not ready for us to do the things that we would like to be able to do with college football. There's no one person in charge who'd be able to solve that. That one person in charge would be doing the same thing all these other college football people are doing, crossing their fingers and hoping they're going to be able to play, knowing damn well that ain't about to happen.
Coming up next on my son's TV show.
No. Why are you running?
I'll tell you this. The answer is number one.
Yeah.
What's the rush, like, folks? I
can't imagine a more, like, this is a slam dunk of which one I'm doing. Well, I mean, you know which one I'm doing. None of them. But if I got to pick.
Yeah, even those people are hiking like they don't want to be there. There's no reason to run unless you're like, get me out of here. I don't want to be here anymore.
Do you question if the Astros should hold a grudge about last year's playoffs?
All right. The Astros holding a grudge. This is Brent Strom. He is the pitching coach of the Houston Astros, and I can't wait to hear this.
I still reflect back, and I know people laugh at me about it. On my screensaver on my computer is the 2-1 changeup that he threw to Soto that was a strike that got called a ball in the seventh inning, and I think changed the entire World Series. Otherwise, we'd be wearing World Series rings with Cole coming in the eighth and ninth, and we would have another ring. But the pitch was there. It was not called a strike. Human error. Computer had it as 95% strike, and it's still, I'm still p***ed about it, to be quite frank. So I hold on to grudges.
You talking about one pitch? Like, he said the whole World Series changed with that one pitch. I got to admit, I don't remember the ups and downs of that game and that series at that point. But he's trying to tell me that it's one pitch, and he's still mad about that one pitch. And look, he got the right to be mad about that one pitch if he wants. But if he's about holding grudges, baby, you're going to see what a grudge is. And it ain't going to be about that one pitch. It's going to be all them pitches headed toward them cabezas.
One thing that I know is very important is to be able to filter yourself. Some things, whether you believe them to be true or false, if you have to start with, people laugh at me for saying it,
yeah,
you probably don't want to say it, bruh. Like, that's it. When things pop into my head, plenty of ridiculous things pop into my head, and I'm like, nah, I'm going to go ahead and put that one away. He needs to learn that. He doesn't look like a young man. I would have thought he figured that out by now.
Yeah, like, make your screensaver whatever you want for you, but you maybe don't have to tell that to everybody. Look, I'll defend him. Baseball's a grudge Olympics at this point. It's just everybody holding a grudge and deciding whose grudge gets to trump the other person's grudge. So, okay, hold your one pitch grudge. I respect it. At least he's wearing a mask.
Yeah, I tell you this, though. If we going to talk about baseball grudge holding, I got to be a little bit fair to him, right? I mean, that only happened last year. He's still holding on to it. Can we pull up a clip of this one from 23 years ago that I'll hold a grudge for the rest of my life? Explain to me how this pitch is a strike. It's halfway down the opposite batter's box. Yes, Fred McGriff, I understand exactly how you feel.
There's one sports kind of grudge that maybe I think Bomani likes to bring up every now and then because he loves the New Orleans Saints pain.
They'll be mad forever about that pass interference call that wasn't made. And that's what makes it so good.
Do you question if this is Myers-Leonard's most elite skill?
You know, I do a lot of hashtag to America's discussion. And even within the NBA, there's a hashtag to America's. And one of the Americas does things like shotgun beers. Now, J.J. Redick was playing golf, and they turned off the water fountain. So he decided to shotgun a beer while he was on the course. It became a thing. Myers Leonard, we got him shotgunning a beer here. All right, this is J.J. Oh, you turn it sideways.
That's
okay.
That's
I didn't go
one.
To one of them colleges.
NBA bubble life, man, just so I have proof. All right. Now, this is an incredibly full beer. You can see that there.
It's a lot of base there, Myers.
I know.
Cheers, everybody.
He's like between the two Americas. Talking like that, shotgunning a beer in a camouflage hat. That was it? He's done? That's all it took?
Yeah, well, first of all, he didn't prove it. He didn't tip it upside down to prove it. Second of all, I would say not that impressive because if you did a little bit of planning ahead, you wouldn't have to Andrew Dice Clay to get the can to open. You could just make it so that you just snap it. But that's just me.
You're a pro.
Dominic, yeah, this, you got any insights on this?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Katie is our correspondent on this one because I know nothing of it. I would think that if you play basketball long enough that you then get some of the customs of the America that dominates basketball, but I guess there's some things from the original America that they can't shake, and shotgun and beers is one of them. Never done it, never been at a party where it's happening, and I don't get the point. Can't you just sip your drink?
Yeah, but it's faster to get drunker.
Yeah, but hold on. We got Myers Leonard racing somebody to drink a brew, right?
One.
All
right, here we go. Are they shotgun and brews outside the happiest place on earth?
Look at all that beer. Hold on. Look at all the beer.
But why? Myers Leonard can afford to buy a nice drink. He can afford to take his time. The man's a father. Like, what are you doing? Aren't you in there to play basketball? Ain't that what we doing?
Have you guys ever shotgunned a beer?
No.
Never once.
No.
God, I wish we were in studio right now so badly.
I'm glad we're not.
Do you question which hike looks like it would be more fun?
All right, we are going to start in Austria. Are we going to Austria first? Let's go check out Austria.
Nope.
Oh, no.
Nope.
No thanks.
Nope. Oh my God!
Let him zoom out. Let him zoom out first, Katie. Let's see what we're really working with.
Okay, now it's a yes. You're right. Now I'm ready. Yes, now I'm into it.
It looks like a much better idea now, Katie. Right?
Oh my God!
Austria is gorgeous, though.
And very pretty, but I'm gonna throw up.
Now let's go to Germany.
No! Why are you running?
I'll tell you this: the answer is number one.
Yeah.
What's the rush, like, folks? I
can't imagine a more, like, this is a slam dunk on which one I'm doing. Well, I mean, you know which one I'm doing. None of them. But if I got to pick.
Yeah, even those people are hiking like they don't want to be there. There's no reason to run unless you're like, get me out of here. I don't want to be here anymore.
What's the point? I don't get it. Like,
I don't either.
I don't get it.
Here's the thing. I'm a bad authority for this because I hate any hike. I've never met a hike that I'm like, this is awesome. Take a hike is the thing I say. And it means you don't want to do, like, it's not fun.
To quote the great Bob Ryan, I don't do adventure, okay?
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
I'm not intrigued necessarily, but I do think that I'll take it a step further than Katie. It gives him more tools because he was capable of doing it that way that time, and it still didn't give any better results. But maybe there are some holes somewhere along the way where him having that ability will help him perform better than other golfers. Probably not, because I've never heard anyone say, you know how to get good at golf? Get swole and smash it.
Right now, the second round of the Memorial.
All right, ooh. Tiger Woods, by the way, last time I checked at the Memorial, not playing well. But Bryson DeChambeau, who is basically the David Boston of golf, keeps on getting bigger, doesn't really get any better. Check this out. He's put off like 50 pounds in this quarantine situation. He's 240 pounds.
Important to know, 50 pounds of muscle.
I've never seen anybody.
Yeah, everybody always says that, but who, like, put all those muscles on the scale to make sure they're
muscle? Yeah, good point, but he doesn't look like those of us who have gained a couple pounds of non-muscle.
All right, Bryson just hit it 407 at 17. If some of you missed this, he was aiming in the neighborhood.
Look at this.
I mean,
30 to carry the bunkers. He didn't even see the bunkers. We wondered how far would it roll out.
You're going to see he's going to get himself to the green in two, but everybody else did also. Right, here he is. He's about 50 yards away from the hole. You can't putt from there. So he still had to do that. And look at that. Two balls already on the green.
To your point, it didn't give him any sort of advantage. But I would say, I don't know, as a person who only casually watches golf on television, just the fact that he does it different, even if it's not affecting his score, at least makes it interesting to watch.
I'm not intrigued necessarily, but I do think that I'll take it a step further than Katie. It gives him more tools because he was capable of doing it that way that time, and it still didn't give any better results. But maybe there are some holes somewhere along the way where him having that ability will help him perform better than other golfers. Probably not, because I've never heard anyone say, you know how to get good at golf? Get swole and smash it. Like, that seems the opposite of all the advice I've ever heard about golf.
I'll just reiterate my stance that it's rude to get in better shape during quarantine. Please stop doing it. I thought we all agreed we were going to come out of this thing soft and smushy, full of snuggles.
Nah. Best shape of my life. All right, there we go. Thank you for joining us on Highly Questionable. Katie, I'm going to leave here and put in some more of these exercises.
I'm going to eat.
I thought about getting soft for y'all, except it would honestly be much easier for me to become a bodybuilder.